fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Yule, back with another hour of non-league passion and insight. As the weather takes another chilly turn and festive preparations begin to distract, it's a big week ahead for some of our clubs. There are FA Cup replays still to be decided, but first, it is the last 64 of the FA Trophy. So three clubs this week featured on this week's show, focused on their first round ties, but with their own individual stories going on around their clubs too. So much to talk about, let's get things underway. Now, we usually speak with managers and players, but every now and then it's great to hear from the often much maligned and the very much the unsung heroes of non-league football, the club owners. This weekend is the perfect timing to speak to our next guest. Just over 12 months since investing and joining the board at Southport FC, its National North Club are preparing for an FA Trophy visit of Conference National Solihull Moors on Saturday, and then the FA Cup second round replay at home to Tranmere Rovers on Monday, with the winners at home to Tottenham Hotspur in the third round and guaranteed live TV. Welcome to the Non-League Football Show, Phil Hodgkinson. I'm guessing you haven't had much time to get excited about Christmas then.
No time at all, Tim, to be honest with you. It's very hectic. I've been back home for about half an hour, having had a meeting with the police, the safety officers, the ambulance service, the security team for the Tranmere game, and we've got Solihull on Saturday, and it's been non-stop. The phones are still ringing. We're getting about 250 calls a day for tickets to the Tranmere game that's already sold out. Proving that we could have probably sold about another 1,000 tickets, but it's hectic times, but very positive and very welcome times as well.
Yeah, it's weeks like these that must make being a club director and an owner memorable and enjoyable. But I mean, I guess to be honest, you've had a pretty tough opening first season with more downs and ups. I see you quoted.
Yeah, it's been interesting. I mean, when I bought into the club over a year ago, and on the day that I joined, we were away at Stockport in the league and were beaten 6-0. And that was just a fantastic start. We went on a terrible run. We changed the management team, brought in a new manager who steadied the ship to a degree, but took a long time to get that first win. We then went on a very exciting winning run and then finished the season losing 9 out of our last 10 games, and we had to make a change. And then this season, pre-season, unbeaten, beating league clubs, and it looked fantastic, and we were very positive. And then the first 11 games, we couldn't buy a win. So it was interesting, lots of downs, and then come the ups. So we're now 10 games unbeaten. As you say, we've got Solihull in the FA Trophy first round on Saturday, and then we've got Tranmere at home on Monday, which is going to be our biggest crowd since 1974, and the first time the ground's been sold out for that long. Football is definitely a very funny old game.
and ironically, you're doing so well in this season's FA Cup and FA Trophy, yet last season you fell at the first hurdle in all of those cup competitions. Were the cups a particular focus this season to get that out of the way?
Genuinely not. Last season, we were knocked out at the first stage of every single cup, including the Lancashire and Liverpool, the local trophies. This season, we set some targets. So our realistic targets were to progress further in all four of those cups, which we've done. We've already achieved that, and to finish higher in the league than we did last season, which was 15th. And so we're not quite there yet. There's a long way to go. So I wouldn't say there's been a focus from our perspective. I think that the cups coincided with the team and the squad starting to hit form, and we're a catalyst to that as well, realistically. I think if you spoke to Liam Watson, our manager, he would say that our Lancashire Cup tie at home, where we won, I think 6-0, was the turning point. Other people would say Kidderminster, but I agree with him. It was definitely the local cup, and we haven't necessarily focused on them. We just set some targets, and I think we have to focus on one thing at a time, and that applies to the cup competitions. But we are where we are now, and we've got to take what's in front of us. And it's a massive game on Monday. We've got a big game on Saturday. there's a massive game on Monday, and the reward for whoever wins between us and Tranmere is immeasurable financially and from the point of view of putting the club in the shop window.
Now, you mentioned Liam Watson there. You also mentioned, you know, the need to make changes and bring Liam in. And we often talk about, you know, a football team, and it goes beyond just the actual players on the field. Liam Watson's back for his third spell as manager. Was it important to bring somebody in that knew the club with all the plans that you had ahead?
I think from our perspective, from myself and Ian Kyle, who's the co-owner, we wanted to bring somebody in with experience of the level. We tried to go with young, up-and-coming first job with Kevin Davis, who's a great guy, by the way, and it didn't work. We tried it, we had a go, it didn't work, and our remit was to bring in somebody with experience of the level and the level above. And to be fair, we interviewed three or four candidates who all ticked the boxes. I had been speaking with Liam over the course of last season, just generally about players. He was scouting at Scunthorpe. He's a friend. And we talked about players and we talked about formations and just chatted generally. And we'd been interviewing for the entire previous week. And I spoke to him. He rang me. And I assumed it was for a chat about players. And Liam just said, had you considered me for the job? And I said, well, no. You said you were never going to manage again. So I didn't give it a second thought, to be honest. And he said, well, I'd be really, really interested. I would only come back into management for Southport and to work with you and Ian. And I've got the bug again. I've spent all of the season, when I've not been working for Scunthorpe, watching Accrington Stanley and my good friend John Coleman, and seeing them get promoted just gave me butterflies in my stomach, and I'm ready. At which point, I took a step back because Liam's a friend, and I approached the board and said, Liam's throwing his hat in the ring. I want you guys to interview him and make the decision. And that's what happened. The board at the time, which was Ian and James Treadwell, interviewed Liam twice. I kept out of the process completely. And they came back and said, absolutely, which was fantastic. And we took it from there.
And again, going back to that team analogy, you've also built a team around. So, you know, John McCarthy as Liam's assistant there. But it's a full-time outfit now, isn't it? So you've got, you're operating like a professional football club now.
Absolutely. I mean, we have stated from day one that our ambition is to get Southport back into the Football League and have them as an established Football League club. And my philosophy and my mentality is that you can't get somewhere if you don't have the approach, the philosophy, the mentality and the facilities of where you want to be. So it's our job is to create that, the infrastructure, the people, the philosophy, the mentality of a Football League club, because I don't believe you can get there unless you have everything in place already. So we've got a fantastic team on the pitch, and we are full-time. We've got John, we've got full-time fitness coach, full-time physio, everyone's full-time. And off the pitch, we've got an amazing team that we've assembled. Natalie Atkinson, our CEO, James Bedford, our secretary, Steve Brown, our commercial manager, Mikey Brown, who's our media guy, and all the volunteers. And we've got a fantastic team, and the club, we're developing the stadium. The first space took place at the start of this season. In the close season, we invested about £1 million in the ground. We'll be investing about the same in this close season and developing it further. And we'll continue to do that until such a time as we have absolutely everything in place to be a Football League club. And I believe that if we do that, then we will achieve that goal.
Yeah, I mean, talking to the people that I know that involves your club, everybody buys into the project. There's a real belief that everybody's working for the greater good, and that goal of Football League status is achievable.
Absolutely, it's completely achievable. And there are different ways of doing it. For me personally, and for Ian, we our fulfilment is through achievement and building something. You know, you look at Salford, which is a different way of doing it. People have criticised the way that Salford have gone about it. I don't think that's fair. I think any non-league club supporters who had Peter Lim who's a multi-billionaire and the class of 92, prepared to come in and do what they've done, would snap their hands off. And I don't have an issue with that. My way is different. If I did that, and we could do it to a degree, that wouldn't give me a sense of achievement. It's about building something. And we've got fantastic people at the football club, and you're absolutely right. Everybody is bought into our vision, our dream, our goal. We've got a five-year plan in place, and we are on track for where we want to be. And I genuinely, firmly believe that we will take this club to the Football League sooner rather than later. I think we'll surprise a few people along the way as well.
I know when you first came in, you mentioned about the need to re-engage with the fans, the local community and local businesses. I guess with the success, particularly in the cup competitions this year, that the fans are definitely engaged. How are you doing with that community and local business stuff? Because sometimes that can be the hardest thing to break.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the names that I didn't mention a few seconds ago was Lee Folcard, who's our community officer and head of community. He's done a fantastic job, and he's taken the community program from absolutely nothing in reality. And we're now engaged with all of the local schools at all levels. We've got our monthly meeting for Alzheimer's sufferers. We're engaged with the NHS. We're engaged with local organisations. And the work that Lee's doing in the community is absolutely unbelievable and growing. We're opening the club up on Christmas Day from 8 a.m. to 12 noon. And I'll be down there with my family, and Ian will be down there, and we'll all be down there. And we're opening up to the homeless, the elderly, anybody who's alone at Christmas, anybody in care. And we want to provide them with a hot meal, someone to talk to, a shower if they need one, and just a bit of positivity and some cheer on Christmas Day. And that's all down to Lee and the team. He's doing a fantastic job. And our community program is expanding on a weekly basis at an unbelievable pace. And it's critical to the future of a club like us.
Yeah, it's fantastic that everything, it seems to be moving in the right direction. But then obviously you look at the league table, and getting distracted by the cup competitions is probably affecting that. What were the ambitions at the outset of the season, league-wise?
The ambition, which will always be the ambition, was to get promoted. Our ambition will always be to get promoted from wherever we are in whichever division we are in. That was the ambition. We felt we were capable of doing that. I'm not going to write this off even where we are now at this stage of the season. We've got a fantastic squad of players. They're a team. They're together. There's a massive amount of quality in there. We had a lot of factors at the start of the season that affected the results. Without going into any details, we were missing some luck. We weren't putting our chances away. The squad was too big. And Liam was very keen to get the squad down to 18 or 19, because at 26, you've got, you know, 10 players who aren't involved on a match day, and that causes a lot of negativity. Whereas with a squad of 18, 19, you're always going to have a couple of niggles, but pretty much your entire squad's engaged. And I've got to say that that's made a massive difference. I've said this more than once in interviews this week, barring Charlie and Brackley away, we were never out of any of those games on that bad run. We were really, really unlucky. You know, Darlington at home, 19 shots on target, including a penalty, 0-0. York at home lost 2-1. We were by far the better team. Spennymoor at home, they got a 95th-minute equaliser, and we dominated the second half at about 15 shots on target. And it just wasn't running for us, and sometimes that happens. But, you know, where we are now, I am absolutely confident we're going to carry on climbing the league. I think by the time we get Monday out of the way, we'll have two games in hand over most of the league, three over some. And if we win those games in hand, we'll be mid-table, 7 points off the playoffs. So there's a long way to go, and I still think that there are some twists and turns.
Well, we've said it's probably the most competitive division this season throughout the pyramid. So I'm sure there's plenty of twists and turns to come. So what about this game on Saturday? How you've obviously got meetings you're going to. I'm sure everybody else is running around trying to organise stuff for Monday. But how do you get everybody focused for Saturday's game, which is, I guess, just as important for everybody at the club.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, and sometimes you have to make difficult decisions. And Ian and I have spoken to Liam, and what we don't want to do is, because we have to play the game on Saturday, so both ourselves and Solihull spoke to the FA and asked whether or not we could move the game to Thursday or Friday, and the FA refused that. And to be fair, Tranmere have got a league game on the Saturday, which can't be moved, so it's a level playing field. But 24 hours recovery time is not sufficient. So whilst the game against Solihull will be treated like any other game, and it's important, you will find, I would suspect that our starting lineup will be made up of peripheral squad members rather than our starting 11 that we intend to play on Monday. And sometimes you have to make those sacrifices. We'll give it as good a go as we can, and it doesn't take away from the importance of it. But we also have a massive game on Monday, and the reality is that the winner of Monday's game is looking at generating between £300,000 and £500,000 in the third round. So that has to be our priority, and that's the way we're looking at it as a club. We want to win on Saturday against Solihull. We'll do our best to win that game. We will put out a team that's capable of winning that game. But in reality, we have to prioritise that game on Monday, because for the club, and for any club at our level, we're the lowest ranked team left in the competition, 60 places below Tranmere. We've got to give it as good a go as we can in front of the live cameras.
Mm. And, in a way, you're lucky that Solihull have got a similar carrot distracting them next week as well.
Fingers crossed. I suspect that will be at the back of their minds as well. And they've got a game against Blackpool away on Tuesday with Arsenal at home for the winners. It's a huge game. So, I would suspect, whilst I don't know, I would suspect that Solihull will have a very similar approach to us. You've got to prioritise these cup games. And the FA doubled the prize money for the FA Cup this season. And the reality is that as a club, we've already earned as much income as we would if we got to the FA Trophy final. And that's the difference.
Yeah. So you've been in the job just over 12 months. So let's say 12 months ago, looking back, things weren't going so well when you first came in. Are you further ahead than you ever expected to be in terms of rebuilding the football club and getting success?
I didn't have any preconceived ideas. People who know me will say that I'm very determined, quite impatient. But I've learned to be very, very patient from the point of view of the football club. It's a very different animal. I'm used to, if things aren't going well, I can personally do something to affect that positively. With a football club, once the players cross the white line, you're helpless as an owner. You can do nothing about it, and that's quite tough, and you have to get used to it very, very quickly. I think that where we are now, whilst the league position isn't where we want to be, I do think that we are ahead of where we thought we would be and where I thought we would be from the point of view of the football club as an overall picture. I was told by many, many people, supporters, people that have previously been connected with the club, that we would never fill that ground. The town wasn't interested in the football club anymore. It was peripheral, and was sold out on Monday. So there's a big tick in the box.
You must know what you're doing, Phil. It's been fantastic talking to you. We wish you well in both the ties, and also in moving up that table in the National North. And I look forward to speaking to you again very soon.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.
Okay, it's FA Trophy weekend for our next club too, but this time the additional buzz around the club is about their new manager. No stranger to non-league and no stranger to the non-league football show. I'm pleased to say, welcome back to the show, new manager at Hartlepool United, Mr. Richard Money. Good evening, Richard.
Thank you very much, Tim. It's a pleasure.
Well, it's great to have you back. And you were unveiled on Tuesday as the new manager up there in Hartlepool. And I smiled to myself when I heard that they were very impressed with you on the interview panel because of your in-depth knowledge of the club's players. Because those that know you know that preparation is everything for you. And so you've had a few days now. I mean, are you prepared for this weekend's tough trip to Leamington in the FA Trophy?
Yeah, you're right. It is a tough trip. You know, the one thing that you learn in non-league is that nothing is easy. And this particular away game in this cup tie is very tricky indeed. So the preparation's been good. I was here, arrived on Tuesday, so I met the players properly on Tuesday. We've had a good session today. We'll do another one tomorrow. You know, try and make sure we put the right team on the pitch, because this, as we both know, is a great trophy for everyone in our league. And there's no doubt that we are one of the teams that should be looking at having a good run in it. But if we're going to do that, we've got to get over a very tough fixture this first weekend.
Yeah, I was going to mention, because obviously you won the trophy with Cambridge United. Does that make it extra special for you and want to do well every time you're playing it?
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm sure it's well documented. I was pretty critical of it when I was at Luton because, you know, we did look at it as a bit of a hindrance because, you know, you get through a few rounds and you lose a few league games and suddenly you've got a lot to catch up. But I have to say we did treat it with the utmost respect, and we got through at the semi-final that year. But at Cambridge, we were able to go all the way and won it. And I can tell you, you know, anyone who's been there, it's a great, great day. And if you can win it, it's obviously a much better one. So, and it did prepare us for the playoff final, which was an added bonus too.
Yeah, that must have made a big difference. Now let's talk about this new job. It's probably about a year since we last heard from you. What have you been up to?
I've been flying in and out of China and around Asia and in and out of America and Argentina. I've done about 200,000 miles in the last 10 months.
I collected some air miles, I would imagine, as well.
I have, but the problem is that they're all in different groups, aren't they? So, no, I've been doing a bit of work mostly in China on various projects to try and help develop the game in that country, more specifically with youth development. So, yeah, it's been something a little bit different, but you know me, it was a real challenge, you know. And time away from this particular role, I think in my case, I've needed. It's always worked for me in the past. It doesn't work for everyone. You know, my career pathway is a little bit different to most managers, but I find a spell away from management really refreshes me, and I'm raring to go.
Yeah, what have you've obviously your development side, there's a whole massive string to your bow, but obviously the management, you've been away from that. What have you missed most about being away from management, and that you're most looking forward to maybe on Saturday to get back into?
Well, I think everyone who's been involved in football, especially when you've played, you know, the buzz of the match day is, you know, is something that you can't replace with anything else in life, I have to say. You know, and whilst it hurts really deeply to lose, it's great to win. So I've missed that. And I have to say that today's training session was the first that I've done for a while. And, you know, it was I couldn't wait to get out there, and it was great. Being out on the pitch again with the players, so it's all of it, you know. And listen, the pressure is not very nice, but in a rather perverse way, you miss that too. So I'm really looking forward to it.
And why Hartlepool?
Well, look, I mean, I think this is a club. I must admit, when they got relegated, you know, we've seen it before. You know, it's a club that definitely feels it shouldn't be where it is, but it is. And, you know, I have experience of those types of clubs and done in the past pretty well with those types of clubs. So hopefully I can do it again here. And I must admit, the day they got relegated, I looked at it and I thought, well, that's a good job for someone. And, you know, it's the sort of job that would suit me at some stage if I was ever able to get it. I'm really pleased that I have.
Yeah, I have to admit, I your name hadn't sprung to mind when I was talking about the Hartlepool job the other day, but looking at it, it just makes so much sense. It's almost like the template of where you've had success elsewhere. You've obviously got plenty of Football League experience as a manager, as well as National League, taking Cambridge up by the playoffs. So do you think that played, helped in you getting the job when they're looking at a longer term plan with a manager?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you'd have to ask the club that, but I think they were pretty open-minded of the type of person that they wanted. But I think once they seen my CV and what I've been able to achieve, and then you get in front of them, I think they probably felt that it was a good fit. And I certainly felt it was a good fit even before I arrived for interviews. So, you just arrive, don't you, and try and, as you say, prepare as best you can and show them what you're about. And thankfully, they decided that I'm the person they want. And they made it pretty clear that and pretty strong that they wanted me as well. So that's a real fillip to the, a boost to the confidence, because, there's no doubt when you leave a club like Cambridge, having done what we did there, that was a bit of a kick in the teeth, if I'm honest. And probably it took me a while to get over that.
Hmm. And you mentioned we, but I mean, you've obviously done your research on the players, and you've indicated as well that you're not necessarily going to have a clear out on the coaching staff either, because you tend to work with those that are around you.
I think it's important, Tim. I know why people take their staff with them, because they feel that there's a sense of loyalty and they know how they work. So I understand that, but I've never done that. I've never had anyone join to the hip. And my view has always been pretty simple, really, that you get rid of people, or people get rid of people. You don't know how good they are. They might be better than what you've got. So I've always took the view, that pragmatic view, that you have a look and see what you've got first before you make any rash decisions. And I think there's some pretty good people here.
Yeah, do you see it as a club that essentially just needs a little tweak here and there, just to make it great again?
Yeah, I get a real sense of similarity, especially to Luton. Not as big as Luton, obviously, but a real sense that they shouldn't be in this league, but they are. And you have to get out of that denial bit and understand that's where they are before they can really go forward. And probably realise that the skill sets at times are a little bit different in this league to get out of it. Then you need a real mix of skills, a real mix of character, and able to sort of pretty much do anything on any day to make sure that you can get the result. So it probably took a little bit of a while to adjust to that. I'm pretty hopeful that there's a group there that we can sort of bring round, but obviously thankful that there's probably a little bit of room to make one or two adjustments that we think we need come January, if that's the case. So, look, we know where we are in the table. It's a tall order at the minute. But, Tim, we've seen teams go on big runs in this league, and, we are the sort of club that could do that. There's no guarantee that we will. But if we can, then, let's see if we can challenge. And Christmas is a really good time, I think, to come in. There's a lot of games in a short period of time, and if you can get a good points total in that period, then the table in January can look very differently very quickly. So let's see what we can do.
Yeah, and you obviously know the value of the playoffs, and with the new playoff system in action in the division as well. You're, 31 points at the moment, playoffs are 39 points. It does only take a little run together, and then you're up there and focusing on challenging for a playoff spot.
Yeah, there's no doubt in our case this year, and in my case coming in right now, the fact that it's down to seven does give us a little bit more hope. So, look, we know we've got to get going quickly, Tim. Otherwise, it's not going to be our year. But let's see what we can do.
And now, we often talk about the hotbed of football up in the northeast, and of course you had your time up there, academy director at Newcastle United. So you know how important football is to people up there. They've had a roller coaster couple of years, so it's nice talking about the playoffs. But do you think stability and building the club the right way is important for them at the moment?
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. I think I said the same at Luton. If you're in the playoffs every year, at one year you're going to go up. You'll either go up as champions or you'll go up within the playoffs. And, they pretty much did it every year before they went up. So, they didn't do great last year. And, there's a bit to do this year, which suggests that there is a little bit of a building job or rebuilding job to do here before you can challenge continuously. because, you know, you've got to keep getting in there to get up. So, yeah, look, let's not make too many judgments too quickly. You know, I think that there is a core of good players there. Let's see. I don't know how much adjustment we're going to need, but we'll try and make those decisions as quick as we can. And as I said, you know, if we can get on a run quickly, let's do it. You know.
And have you got your thermal sorted out as well? I mean, moving up to the northeast as the weather gets colder, it's quite a brave move when you've been jetting around the world.
Yeah, but you ain't going to tell me it's not been cold down there this week either. You know what I mean? So. No, yeah. Was it a shock on Monday, on Tuesday, Wednesday? I'm not going to say it wasn't, but because I've been here before and so I expected it, but it was cold, I can tell you.
Well, Richard, it's been fantastic talking to you. We're so grateful you're back involved in non-league because we've missed you, and we wish you every success the weekend and the coming season, and hopefully we'll speak to you again in a couple of months' time.
Cheers. Thanks, Tim. Pleasure.
One more feature club in action this weekend in the FA Trophy, a club very close to my heart, my own club, Hayden Yenning United. They're currently enjoying their best run in the FA Trophy ever. The Step 4 club upsetting the pyramid, having already disposed of clubs from Step 3 in the form of Hitchin Town, Banbury United and Brighton Sea Region. But this weekend, a stiffer test awaits. Current FA Trophy holders Brackley Town, who we spoke to last round and who are enjoying a good season at Step 2 in National North. A step too far, Paul Hughes, manager at Hayden Yenning United.
A step too far. Well, we're going to go there, as we always do, and try and win the game. But, yeah, we obviously know it's a very, very, very tough test. Certainly our sternest test this season. So we're under no illusions of, you know, how strong they are. But, you know, we're in a good run of form and, you know, it's the cup. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
I mentioned that Brighton Sea Region win 2-1 away in the replay on a grim Tuesday night after a long, arduous trip. It won the League Performance of the Month awards. Was that perhaps a win in that different manner, hard fought? Did that sort of perhaps create a bit more of a spark and belief in the players and the team that, you know, that they really can go on and do something this season?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it until you said it. But yeah, I think it was a different type of win. It was a, you know, it was a 3.5 hour journey because everyone knows about the problems we had on the motorway. They had a long day at work. They went a goal down, and yeah, they showed a lot of determination. But they also done that in the first game actually when it went down to 10 men, and I felt we were the better team for that, for the 2/3 of the game with 10 men. So I think both of those games showed a certain sternness to our character and a certain strength that we may not have had last year or the years before. So that was good to see, and you're right, that does breed confidence, and confidence is, you know, is key to any successful team.
Well, you can hear the background noise there. That's the team at training, and there's a certain buzz about the club at the moment.
Yeah, I think when you're winning games, God, it's loud. Yeah, you can just soundproof. Yeah, I think when you're winning games, that it breeds belief, and belief breeds confidence, and that sort of everything gets, the energy rises, everything gets louder, bigger, stronger, and you can see that energy on the pitch. And yeah, it's an exciting time to be at the club, and you know, being back in the new stadium helps. Great facility, motivates us, and well, motivates the other team actually as well, which is another story. But yeah, you certainly feel an air of optimism around the place.
Yeah, we mentioned that those trophy wins, but of course there have been other cup wins this season over Step 3 sides. AFC, Rushden and Diamonds in the FA Cup, Potters Bar Town the League Cup, Enfield Town the County Cup. Do you take some extra confidence into the trip to Brackley that the team maybe has the taste for higher opposition scalps?
Obviously, we are highly motivated for those games, and that's been proven with the results we've had. Look, Step 2 is a big jump from where we're at. Let's make no bones about that. So yeah, you know, we're going there with a game plan. We're going there to try, you know, our best for the club, for ourselves, for our own self-esteem, our own self-respect. And you never know what that's going to get you on the day, because a cup game's a cup game. There's been bigger shocks than that.
Well, yeah, preparation wise, back-to-back league defeats for Brackley, that's league form, and you've had 2-5-1 home wins in the league. Can you carry that league form into cup matches like this?
Well, yeah, you certainly carry that confidence with you. But again, you know, it's a totally different opposition as well. So We'll carry the confidence into the game, and you know, yeah, we'll try our hardest. The energy levels are high, and if we can compete physically with them, then yeah, anything can happen.
And one thing there's likely to be is goals. At the start of the season, lost club record goal scorer Manny Duku, but goals haven't been hard to come by this season. I think in all competitions, over 70 goals scored already this season.
Gee, okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. Again, you're the stat guy. We're sort of game to game.
That was stat guy, not sad guy. Yeah,
sad guy. Yeah, we're game to game. 70 goals is unbelievable. So yeah, I'm pretty stunned at that figure. Yeah, so I guess the way we play, we're an attack minded team. We've got players in all positions that can score, and I think that's key. And we've always set up our teams like that. We haven't just relied on the front men to score. And I think Barney's got 11, I think, in the league. And he's the top goal scorer in the league. So 11 out of what, 70? Or is that? Oh, I think it's 50 odd in the league, isn't it? So, yeah, so we certainly don't rely on our front men to get us the goals.
And obviously, an away game makes it more difficult. A home draw might have been kinder and a bit more of a level playing field. Well, certainly level out there that Skyx are one of the best playing surfaces around at the moment. But you've certainly been able to make it a fortress this season. You know, it's 100% records. League wins here this season. Does that help bring players in when they see that you've got a decent home record as well as a decent home to play at?
I think facilities help. I think success helps. Of course it does. I think players want to be part of a team that's successful. So without doubt, it would help that type of recruitment. But for our level, I mean, the facilities are fantastic. So that alone is a good thing to draw and is a good card to play. And as you know, we're always looking to strengthen, aren't we? So yeah, it certainly helps.
Looking to strengthen, but not the revolving door that there have been in recent seasons. It's a regular joke that we tend to look down the team sheet of the opposition and we recognise a number of names on there where we've had. 70 to 80 players registered every season. So it's a good core of players that stuck around as well.
Yeah, because I think that, like I said, moving into the stadium helped. It showed the direction of the club. It gives players confidence in the direction of the club. You know, Tony and Dev's doing a great job behind the scenes to keep that momentum. And we often forget that it all falls on their shoulders a lot of the time. So they're doing a great job. And yeah, like I said, it's a bright place to be at the moment, and hopefully the form will continue, and certainly the hard work will. So I'm quite excited over the next few months to see what we can actually achieve.
Yeah, it's a trophy to focus this weekend, but obviously away from the trophy league-wise, in the new Isthmian South Central Division, games in hand just behind the leaders. Playoff disappointment last season, so it. And obviously this season, at step four, you're not guaranteed, even as playoff winners, to go up. Is it all or nothing on the league this season?
I mean, it's a tough task, isn't it, to say, well, you've got to go and win the league, which is essentially what you have to do at this level, because you're not guaranteed a place, you're not guaranteed a promotion unless you do that. So we don't think of it like that. We just think of it as, I know every manager says it, but game to game. As long as we're producing and working hard and doing all the right things game by game by game, we'll get our reward. And if anyone can stand that pace and can do better, then great, we will relish that challenge. And that's the nature of sport. You know, we'll go toe-to-toe, they'll go toe-to-toe, and let's see who wins at the end of the day. And if it's them, we'll shake their hand and go, well done. If it's us, then we'll cheer around and celebrate and pop champagne and do everything you do when you win things. So, you know, we've got a group of players that enjoy the challenge, and that's what I'm enjoying about it. They love the challenge, and they love winning, and they love the battle, and that's a pleasure to be in charge of people like that.
Yeah, and as much as I mentioned, a home draw might have been nice. Does that make an away fixture maybe better for that team spirit? Because like we said about Brighton Sea Region, it was a horrible journey, but actually you seem to get more out of them.
Well, yeah, we're going to go up in convoy again, aren't we? So we might get lost on the way or a puncture. There is good spirit that way. You know, they've got the boombox going. We've got Tubes as the DJ. Toby Little as the DJ, and everyone seems to like his music. So there's a nice rhythm. There's a nice pattern to the way we approach these games, and everyone feels comfortable with that. So, and we don't let them off the hook. You know, we think we're known. I think they take the mick out of us because we're quite, you know, we drive them quite hard. We expect standards. We've got our own standards. We don't try and go off anyone else's. And if we don't meet those standards, they know about it. And that's the tough balance to have, how much to say well done and how much to say, ah, that could have been better.
Well, Paul, thank you for joining us. Look forward to the game and look forward to the result, hopefully, as well. And we'll speak to you later on in the season.
Right. Cheers, Tim.
Okay, so time of the week to head on over to the non-league paper. And a welcome back to the show to senior writer at the NLP, Mr. Matt Badcock. Good evening, Matt.
Good evening, Tim.
Now, another week of wonderment and bewilderment in some cases in the world of non-league.
It's, every week's different, but also always the same. There's always something going on, isn't there?
There's always something going on. Now, let's deal very quickly with last weekend's front page headline about the big changes at Billericay Town. No confirmation on change of ownership this week. If you haven't seen the headline, go out, find a copy, get it online and have a read. So no change of ownership this week, but another big name in Jamie O'Hara has departed. And it does appear that, at the very least, the club's slimming down its wage bill and perhaps changing the approach to that overall plan.
Yeah, it definitely seems like the Billericay going in a different direction. As the piece in Sunday's paper said, as we understand it, there is a takeover. We still believe that's in the pipeline. And as part of that, with Glenn Tamplin leaving or being bought out, then the budget is going to be slashed. It's still going to be a very healthy budget by all accounts, and perhaps we should be commending the club really for doing it. I mean, you know, the budget that they had last year to win the Bostic Premier. I think lots of managers will believe that they could have done the same, but you know, there was obviously lots of things going on at the time, and they had a lot of games build up, didn't they? And they did well to get over the line, but that budget was very, very large for the division. So maybe, you know, going to a more slimmed down version of the club might not be a bad thing. And if this is what it takes to get them on a more even keel, then it should be applauded, I guess.
Yeah, and no, certainly sort of knowing Dean Brennan quite well and knowing the way that he works, I think that was always in his ambition. It was to run the club like any other non-league club and get it to become self-sufficient and working like others around in non-league.
Yeah, and that's what it needs to be. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of people saying "I told you so" with the way it's looking like it's going, but that doesn't mean to say that the club is going to completely slide off the landscape, and that's not what the piece is saying by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I think it has to be pointed out that what Tamplin has done there is he leaves a ground that has been transformed. You know, I've been down there myself, done a piece and said that in the paper about that he should be applauded for that. Well, a lot of the spending can be seen as a bit crass, and the way they've gone about things isn't always been maybe the way people would like them to. You know, there is something that's being left there behind. But, you know, as you say, Dean quite rightly wants to slim it down and make this a bit more realistic and sensible, really.
Yeah, and they wouldn't be in the position they're in if they hadn't have done it. So, you know, everything happens for a reason. Now usually we have plenty to chat about on the managerial merry-go-round, but it's not been overly busy this week. We spoke with Richard Money, new boss at Hartlepool United, earlier in the show, and perhaps that's an interesting place to start, because up at Wrexham, Graham Barrow's still the caretaker boss, but there are some big names and proven names at non-league, perhaps in a hunt for a job. I know you spoke to Darryl McMahon, formerly at Ebbsfleet, and he's keen to get back on the horse. And you've got ex-Macclesfield boss John Askey, bookie's favourite for the Wrexham job, perhaps, in many's eyes. And then we've seen Darryl Clark depart from Bristol Rovers this week. Now, some big names looking for a chance to get back in and manage.
Yeah, there's always lots of managers that that are out there looking for jobs, and it seems to be really at the moment. If you're a club in all sorts of different parts of the country, you've got a pick of some great candidates. Obviously, there's Jay Saunders as well, who left Maidstone earlier in the season, who's another one who's you know, out there, and I'm sure looking to get back in. And I think it shows how difficult it is. Someone like Gary Hill took over a year, didn't he, to get back in there? Absolutely. And that's obviously when Daryl left. You know, it's a funny old industry, isn't it? I don't know why they do it sometimes, these managers, why they want to go into it. But yeah, there are lots of people out there, and obviously Richard Money coming back into the game is, I think, could be a really good appointment for Blackpool. I know they sort of looked at Lee Bradbury, didn't they? And he obviously went and spoke to them, and he's been doing a fantastic job at Havant, and that was probably a club he needed to go and speak to see where it led. But they've obviously gone down the Richard Money route, and his record is at this level is outstanding. Well, even above as well. I mean, I know he's at Solihull for a short period of time last year, wasn't he? But I think if we take that out of it, the job he did at Luton was a certain type of job. He had an over 50% win rate when he was there, and he just couldn't quite. He wasn't the man in charge when they got over the line, but you know, he did a lot of good work there, and then went to Cambridge, and obviously we see what happened there. He took them up, won the FA Trophy in the next year, in their first year in the league. They drew with Man United at the Abbey and had a replay up at Old Trafford. And I've spoken to so many people over the years, and even this week, who tell me what a good coach Richard Money is. They speak so highly of him. Often, in fact, the phrase that often gets used is the best coach I've ever had. So if he can go in there and really do his work, and you know, he's taken over clubs in this sort of situation before, like Cambridge, like when he was at Walsall, clubs that just need a real sort of shake up, and he seems to get them going in the right direction, and that's obviously what Hartlepool will be hoping for. I mean, Wrexham, as you say, it's a big job that I'm sure there's lots of people who out there who will want that and will fancy that, because if you can get that club up, then you are, I don't think you're ever buying a pint in North Wales ever again in your life, because they've been obviously the longest serving club in non-league. Quite incredible, really. But you can see everyone knows the potential that they've got, the crowds they get, you know, even after all these years of near misses and then not even getting anywhere close to it, the fans still turn up as passionately as ever. And John Askey could be a one. I think they wanted him in the past, if you believe the papers. And he could be a good choice, but there's lots of others out there. I mean, as you say, Daryl Clark, absolutely amazing job at Bristol Rovers. I don't think the Bristol Rovers fans are too enamoured with the decisions that's allowed him to leave the club. I think there's been things going on there behind the scenes, and they've been wanting. I know Daryl's been wanting clarity on where the club's going and serve the fans, and they've been calling for him to be backed. But whether someone could entice him back to non-league, I don't know, because you know, his record of when he started at Salisbury, had two promotions there, and then getting Bristol Rovers up for the first attempt in out of the National League, which is no mean feat, and then a successive promotion into League One the year after. You know, I wonder if he'll be setting his sights on another football league job, and he'd probably have every right to. But you never say never in this game, because as we said, it's very difficult to get back in sometimes.
Mm. And away from managerial stuff, we've got big cup action this weekend. We've got FA Cup replays for Southport and Solihull Moors early next week, who ironically meet in this weekend's trophy. Now, we also spoke to Southport's owner Phil Hodgkinson this week, but both clubs must be riding high on adrenaline right now, especially those TV dates at home to Tottenham and Arsenal respectively, the prize if they can win those FA Cup replays. And it's nice to see that carrot's been offered before the second round ties have been settled.
Yes, yeah, it's nice to be nice. A piece in the paper last week, Liam Watson sort of wondering whether he should maybe be out in Barcelona scouting Spurs, just in case they do get through. But you know, what a fantastic opportunity for both those clubs if they can get past. Of course, the other side of it is that Tranmere really want to play Spurs at home as well, and Blackpool really want to play Arsenal. So.
I don't know why. Why would they want that?
I mean, I was personally hoping that it would be be. I'm hoping they both get through, and then we get replays, and we get to go to the Emirates press room again. I don't know if you've been there, but the food's not bad. Might not be better than Hayes and Yedin, but
well, you see, you haven't been down for a while.
But no, it's great. Yeah, it is great, and you know, to have that, to know what you can, what's at the end of the 90 minutes if you can get through it, and what great occasions they would be. I mean, you know, I don't think you need any motivation anyway in a FA Cup second round. I think it's a third round, but if you did need any, that's even more to go up against those two sides.
But then they've got this trophy game between them, and the FA Trophy this weekend has got some massive games in it. You've got Harrogate against York, Bromley Sutton, a nice sort of fairly local one, Altrincham Stockport. And then maybe a potential banana skin Leighton Orient Beaconsfield.
Yeah, some really good, those sort of good ties. They say those sort of big ties. Like Harry York is a great one. And, you know, York used to have been, you know, much higher than Harrogate in the football system over the years. But see, that's reversed in over last season and now into this season. We've obviously Harrogate being a league higher than York. But that's a great derby. And then we've got, you said Beaconsfield against Orient, Basford again to Chesterfield. You know, Basford, a fantastic occasion that would be for them to go up against a football ex-football league club. Come a long way, Basford over years, did a piece of them earlier in the year, and you know, come from basically a field of a rope round it to where they are now, and now going to Chesterfield, and these are sort of great opportunities for those players to really go and test themselves.
Yeah, the only disappointment there is rumours of potential fans avoiding the game because of the various protests and that sort of thing, which means that Basford wouldn't get the same crowd and the kickback from the shared gate as they might have hoped. But you know, hopefully it'll still be good rewards for them.
Yeah, so obviously there's lots of problems with Chesterfield on off the field, isn't there, with that sort of side of things, and sort of all sorts of worrying stories coming out around the protests. But I think Basford will really go there and think, you know, what a great opportunity to go and show what we're all about. And you know, they've got some decent players in that side, and players who've played higher, so it could be an interesting one. It's probably not one that Martin Allen and the team will particularly know they need to be on their mettle. But then you've got Bedford going to Aldershot, and Bournemouth. Torquay's an interesting one as well, isn't it? With Torquay coming up to Bournemouth, spoke to Luke Garrod last week after Bournemouth beat Orient, and he was saying about how much he wants an FA Trophy run and how important it is to him. So you know, Torquay at least they're at home, but Torquay won't be an easy proposition because Gary Johnson's got him absolutely flying at the moment.
It's interesting you mentioned that about Luke Garrod, because obviously they're not the same financial riches on offer as the FA Cup, but it does seem that the trophy still is, for non-league players, it still has a certain kudos about it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, I think there are people who will say that it's lost a bit of its magic and all its lustre, and you know, it's difficult to argue with that sometimes, but I think when you really look at it, I think clubs do really want to go well. We've seen Justin Denver saying how he wants Orient to go as far as they can. And if you, I know we've said before, if you look back over the years, you can do well in both competitions. We said about Richard Money earlier, when Cambridge went up, they'd won the trophy a couple of months before, because that's when it was in March. And when Lincoln went up, got to the semis, and Grimsby, when they got promoted, they were in the trophy a week later, although I don't think that helped them, because as I understand it, I don't think there's a huge amount of training after their promotion back into the Football League. But it can be done. You can do it on both, and it's a great opportunity for clubs to get to Wembley, and you know, all that comes with that. I mean, you know, there's players that who play professional football for years who don't get to play there and have an occasion like that. So that would be that'd be quite something, and Hayes obviously got an easy tie against the current holders, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, it's having had conversations with Kevin Wilkin as well, I know how important the trophy is to Brackley, and you know, to try and retain it would be certainly something special. So, we're in form, but it could be a tough tie, that one.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I went up to Salford City a few weeks ago, talking to Gary Neville about how he really looks into the into everything about, you know, as you'd expect, everything around London. He was sort of saying how he looked at when they went out of the when they're in the trophy or in the trophy and they played Brackley and Brackley beat them. He felt that was a big turning point in their season. I know I've just said about, you know, the dual fronts, but he felt that was a big turning point in their season because he was looking at ahead at the games that would have then been pushed onto a Tuesday, and also how Brackley had to battle against catching the fixture pile up and catching up, and he felt that was a big turning point for Salford because he was very worried about how Brackley would have come on if they had gone out that trophy that day and Salford had stayed in it.
Mm. Well, obviously plenty to talk about and read about on Sunday morning about the FA Trophy, and obviously some FA Cup previews as well. But what else can we expect in the non-league paper this weekend, Matt?
Yeah, lots going on. I can speak to Richard Money a little bit later and sort of a nice piece in there with him. I've spoken to Lee Allenson at Biggleswade this week as well. He's doing a great job at Biggleswade Town, his first management job, having left St Albans where he was assistant to his daddy. And so that was that's a nice little story about spreading his wings and hoping maybe in the years to come there could be an Allenson derby in the FA Cup or something if Biggleswade and St Albans get drawn together. We've got a nice feature looking at Kingstonian as well, because they're another club going well at step three, and some sort of difficult years there. They're sort of flying along, so plenty in there, lots to read about, and you know, hopefully most people will be picking up and reading about their team winning a game.
It would be fantastic to be doing that, but I'll pick up the paper up anyway.
You're being harsh.
Well, thanks as ever for your time, Matt. Have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Tim. Much appreciated.
So that's it for this week. A big thank you, as ever, to all of our guests. A big thank you to everybody who listens. And a big thank you to the world of non-league football that supplies us with not only plenty to talk about every week, but also fun, friendship, tears of joy, and tears of sadness week in, week out. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. And tell your friends too, they can find us every week on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, that thing called Alexa, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Thank you and goodbye.
Jabber production. JIBBA JABBA.